universe. He's already done it. Jesus has already died. He's already done that. He rose from the dead. He sits at the right hand of the Father. And now he says, I give you the commission. You go out and do this. Amen. Amen. He says to do it. Then I want to tell you a story about Mother Teresa that I just read recently. And I love Mother Teresa. To me, she was a saint long before the Catholic Church did their thing. But the reason I like her is that she was so honest. Even, you know, God sends her as a young nun to India. And she gets this hunger, this need to feed the poor. And these were not just poor people. In India, before the British came in, there was this caste system. And if whatever caste you were born into, if you were fortunate enough to be born into a good one, that's where you stayed. If you were born into the group that was called the Untouchables, that's where you stayed. You were born there. You lived in poverty. It was horrible. The poorest of the poor. And this is where God sent her. And she was faithful there. And yes, she went through, I won't go into it. I just really admire her so much and what she did. But anyway, this story, let me share it with you. It's so neat. She was helping this organization that was getting started to feed the poor around the world. And this man said, I had so much trouble asking people for money, asking people for help. I have passed that. You know, people say, God doesn't need your money. Yes, God needs your money. How does he work on this earth? He needs our money. He needs your tithe. He needs your offerings. That's why we do it. So he can do so his job can be done. Amen. So anyway, so they're flying to this country in South America, and they're going to be holding, you know, fundraisers or whatever, and he's telling Mother Teresa his problem, and she says, let me show you an example. So she asked the stewardess who came by giving out the lunch. She said, how much will you give me for this lunch? And she said, well, I don't know. Nobody's ever asked that. So she goes back. She asked, and she comes back, and she said, we'll give you $1 for the lunch. So it turns out that no one in the plane eats the lunch. And it's like 200-something people's on the plane. So she walks out with 200-something dollars to feed the poor. But it gets better. When she gets, she says, you can't sell this food. You can't give it to anybody. I want this food. So they give her the 200-and-something lunches. And she says, oh, by the way, I need your truck because I've got to deliver this food to the poor. So she gets the truck with the food. She goes down, and they feed the poorest of the poor in this country. And she comes away with $200-something dollars. Isn't that awesome? And she said, this is how you feed the poor. Yeah. So we think, what do we have here? Not a lot. Another thing she said that I'm always quoting is that you might not be able to feed the world, but you might be able to feed one person, you see. And that's what we are asked to do. We can feed one person. Amen. We can help one person. So we can't think that, God, what can you do with me? Well, God can do a lot. Amen. And he wants to do a lot. So let's think big. Let's think like Mother Teresa. I thought, isn't that awesome that God would, that she would think like this. I mean, it's so wonderful, you know, that she allowed God to use her. Well, today we're going to talk about, let's go to 1 Kings, the 17th chapter. This is why you guys need to bring your Bibles, because you never know when I'm going to be speaking. And so 1 Kings, if I can find it myself, it's after 2 Samuel, 17th chapter. We're going to be talking about persistent prayer. Prayer that you pray. Wouldn't it be great that the minute we pray, God answers us? And he says he does. He says, before you ask, I'll answer you. But sometimes it seems it's a long time coming. Amen. Have you been praying for a child or a grandchild or someone that you love for a long time and you want them to come into the kingdom? We want them to come into the kingdom for a couple of reasons. One, we want them to be saved. We want them to go to heaven. But also, if you have a child that's doing their own thing, it costs a lot for you. Amen. If nothing else, you're praying like crazy. So anyway, the 17th chapter. You get it. But anyway, God is so good. He's been so good to me. He's been so good to me, I tell you. Before I get to Elijah, we're going to be talking about Elijah today. But I want to talk to you a minute about Noah. Sometimes about our prayers not being answered the way we want them to be answered or as quickly as we think they should be answered. Noah obeyed God. And for 120 years, he worked obeying God, building an ark. so that his family would be saved and creation would be saved. He never faltered. He did what God had called him to do. Doesn't say he complained. He just kept on building just what God. And this thing was huge, huge. It was covered football fields. You know, I mean, it was seven clean animals that came into the, and two unclean of each kind. But anyway, he didn't give up. And God said at the end of all of this, at the end of it, he said, I'm going to make a covenant, and I'll never break my covenant. God is a covenant God. Amen. He said, I'll not break this covenant ever. And he said, every time you see a rainbow in the sky, you will remember this covenant, that I will never let this happen again. No matter how sinful man gets, I will not do that. And he hasn't. Amen. He said, there'll be seed time, there'll be harvest. And has anybody missed that? No. God is a faithful God. He's a covenant God, and he wants to make covenant with his people. And so sometimes when we're praying, we think, well, God, you know, if only I was good enough to pray, or only if I knew how to pray. All of these things that come in, I know I do too. I said, God, just help me to be that fervent, fervent prayer warrior that you want me to be. Amen. And so in James talks about a guy named Elijah. And he says this really neat thing. He says, Elijah is a man just like you are. Amen. Amen. He's, you know, so that tells us, as I tell you the story about Elijah, you'll see, wow. I could be like Elijah? Yes, you could be like Elijah. Amen. So anyway, the story starts off in the 17th chapter. Well, it really starts off before then, but we're going to start in the 17th chapter. And God tells Elijah to go to King Ahab and tell him that there will not be rain for 3 years upon the earth. And Elijah is to speak this out. And it doesn't. It doesn't rain for 3.5 years. In the meantime, he says, don't worry about it. You go to this brook. I'm going to send the ravens to feed you. So here he's just laying out there at this brook, and these birds are bringing him food. Well, eventually the brook dries up, and he says, don't worry about it, Elijah. There's a widow I've already commanded to feed you. So he goes to this widow, finds this lady, and she's out picking up sticks. And he says, she says, because I'm going to make I've got a little bit of meal here. I've got a little bit of flour. I've got a little bit of oil. I'm going to make a cake for me and my son, and then we'll just die because there's no more food left. So Elijah comes on the scene. He says, make me a cake first. She says, why not? You know, this is it. So she feeds him. He says, because you've done this, your flour will never run out. Your oil will never run out. You will be fed this whole time of the drought, the famine. And during this time, her son dies. Elijah prays for him. He gets raised from the dead. And after 3.5 years, the Lord tells Elijah, go meet with the king and tell him that there's going to be rain. So he gets up. He just does whatever God tells him to do. Amen. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? So going over to the 18th chapter, he goes and he sees the king. And he says, there's going to be rain. He said, I want you to bring all the false prophets to Mount Carmel. Now, what had happened during this time, has anybody ever heard of evil Queen Jezebel? Nobody ever names their kid Jezebel. Can you understand why? Here's little Jezebel. Oh, my God. No. A lot of Marys, but no Jezebels. But she is the wicked of the wicked. This lady tops the mark in it. She has killed all the prophets of God, or if she thinks she's killed all of the prophets of God. Some have been hidden. But as far as she's concerned, everybody's going to bow their knee to Baal. And they have. And so things are going along, but things are about ready to change. Have you ever noticed there's always a change in God? Don't give up. God is going to take care of you, and God loves you. And no matter how desperate it seems, God plan is going to go forth. Amen. I was talking to Donna, and I don't know if you guys are aware of this. I know you're aware of the situation with Tommy, but Tommy had just went through a really difficult time where I don't know all the circumstances, but he had been put in confinement. And the problem with that is that he was put into this room where it was very, very hot. He lost 20 pounds while he was there. But anyway, the situation was very, very bad. And in Donna's mind, it was like, what good can come of this? My son, I can't talk to my son. They won't give me any information about my son. As far as I know, my son is dying in this hole that they have put him in. They won't give me any information. And it's hard to see God working in that. Amen? Amen. And we kept praying, and it's going to be all right, Donna. We know God has a plan and a purpose. Well, finally it ends, and they send Tommy to another prison, like it's a half hour away from where he was. And he gets there, and they test him, and they're, you know, going through all the process. And they find out that Tommy is very, very talented, and Tommy knows a lot. And they say, oh, my gosh, we can use you as a tutor. So he had already told his mother, I'm not going to do anything. I am going to sit in this cell. I'm going to be a good guy. Not that he was a bad guy, but he says, I'm not going to go out of my way to do anything. I'm just going to sit here. That's it. Well, they've already got him working, doing all sorts of things. And, of course, that's what he wants to do. So that's where Donna is today, visiting Tommy. But in that situation that Tommy was in, there could seemingly be no good. But he was telling her, he said, Mom, God had it right. I am in a much better place. This is awesome. And he said, and they're feeding us. Now, I don't know if you're aware of the prison system, but my granddaughter, my oldest granddaughter, is in prison. She says, I'm hungry all the time, Grandma. They don't feed us. And you can say, well, they're in prison. They shouldn't get fed. I don't know. You know, but they need to have food. So the situation, he said, we had breakfast. We had real eggs. We had real sausage. Did they feed the prisoners very good enough? Yeah, so he was thrilled, the real thing, you know. So, but anyway, he was telling, the whole point is that he was telling his mother, he said, it was God. It was God. And when we can look back, can we look back sometimes and we can say in our most difficult times, it was God. It was God. Amen. Can we not trust him? Well, Elijah has went through this terrible time. And he has went through a lot, and the children of Israel have went through a lot because of their disobedience to God and because of the evil king and queen. We find him in the 18th chapter, and he calls all the prophets of Baal to Mount Carmel. And there's 450 prophets of Baal, and there is one Elijah. And he says, now, let me read this so I can find it real quick because I wandered away from my notes. But I want to, okay. This is 18, chapter 18, the fifth verse. But anyway, he says, you know, okay. He says, if the Lord be God, then serve him. If the Lord, if Baal is God, then serve him. But we're going to decide today who we're going to serve. So he tells the king, he says, bring all the prophets of Baal down here, and we're going to sacrifice to God. You can sacrifice to your God. I will sacrifice to my God. And the God that speaks with fire is the God that we will worship. And they said, okay. You know, so they start in the morning. There's 400, picture this. There's 450 prophets of Baal. And they start doing their thing early in the morning. And by noon, they have ranted and raved and carried on for hours. And Elijah is taunting them. He says, well, you know, maybe you should cry louder. Maybe he's went on vacation. Maybe he's in the potty room. You know, you got to get this guy's attention, you know. So by this time, they're slashing themselves. Blood is gushing out. They are trying to get the attention of Baal. But Baal is nowhere to be found. We know that, right? He is a false demonic god. He is no god at all. So anyway, by noon, they're pretty well worn out. They've just used all their energy. And the people of Israel are just watching this, you know. So then it's Elijah's time. Amen, it's Elijah's time. And he calls for an altar. He builds an altar of 12 stones representing the 12 tribes of Israel. And he says, now dig a trench around it. So they dig a trench. He says, now fill the trench up with water. So they fill it up with it. And I was thinking, there's no water. You know, I mean, where do they get this water? But anyway, they fill the trenches up with water. He cuts the sacrifice up. He covers the sacrifice with water. Water is running out the trenches. There is so much water. Then he calls on God. And guess what happens? The fire comes down. It consumes the offering. It consumes the water. It licks up everything. There is nothing there at all. And everybody is excited. Amen. Amen. And everybody, this is God. Amen. Don't we serve an awesome God? Amen. Can you see that? Amen. So he is so excited. He says, gather up all these false prophets, and he kills them all 450 of them, right there. And then he tells King Ahab, you go ahead and eat, king. I got to go pray. So he goes up to the mountain and he prays. He takes his servant with him and he prays, because he says, told the king there's going to be rain. Now, a lot has happened that's pretty exciting, but rain has not come yet. So he goes up, he's up on the mountain, he's praying. He tells his servant, go look and see. The servant comes back and says, there's not a clear day, no clouds. He prays again. He sends his servant, comes back, no rain. He sends his servant again. 7 times his servant goes and looks to see if there is any sign that there could be rain coming. Amen. Would we not have given up on the 3rd time? 4th time we would have said, this ain't God. Yeah, whatever, Lord. You know, this isn't working out, Lord. But Elijah does not give up. That's what we cannot give up. We cannot give up. If we're trusting God, if God has made you a promise, don't give up on it. Hang in there, because God isn't finished yet. Amen? Amen. On the 7th time, his servant comes back and says, there is a cloud the size of a man's hand. And Elijah says, tell the king to get in his chariot and start moving. And before they could get off the mountain, the wind had come, the clouds had come, the rain had come. Now, Elijah had gotten so excited over this whole thing, he outruns the king's chariots. I mean, talk about moving out. This guy is on the road. So, I mean, see how good our God is? There's nothing he cannot do. It's just awesome. I mean, you know, God is so good. I can just see Elijah, and he is so excited. And then, but he was persistent. See, he didn't give up. This isn't working. I prayed for my healing. Obviously, it's not God's will that I be healed. I'll just sit here and be in pain. That's what God has in store for me. Amen? And I feel like, especially as I get older and I have these weird pains come up, I think, oh. And I think, everything is because of my age, which is true. I mean, your body just doesn't like you anymore. But, you have to fight it. You can't just give in and say, I'm going to go over here and die. You know, later on, he does do that. Because, you know, God, the neat thing about the Bible, and I hope you guys have fallen in love with the Bible, because it's the most awesome book that you will ever get. This book is worth, hey, if you had a chance to win the lottery or this book, take this book. Because you're going to waste that money. You're going to spend it whatever your grandkids are going to get. Somebody's going to get that money. But this book is yours. Amen. Do not, the stories are so awesome. And the wonderful thing about our Father is and I wish sometimes he didn't. Because I think, God, you didn't have to tell us that. We could have passed over that, not known it. What would it have mattered? You know, but he just tells the good, the ugly, the bad, and puts it out there. And you do whatever you want to with it. He shows us at our best. He shows us at our worst. And, going on with Elijah, he just had done this awesome thing. I mean, obeyed God, this tremendous victory. He's running for his life. I mean, he's running, he's outrunning the king's chariot. He gets to wherever they're going, Samaritan, whatever the main city was there. But anyway, the queen hears about it, evil queen Jezebel. And she is mad. She is furious. And she says, he will die. He will die. And do you know what this mighty man of God did? He ran for his life. This one little lady scared him so bad, he runs for his life. He runs and he just sort of passes out somewhere along the way. I mean, he's exhausted. He has went through a lot. And so he's exhausted and he falls asleep, and an angel wakes him up and says, eat. The journey is long. And he gets up and he eats and he goes back to sleep. Then he gets up again. The angel wakes him up and he eats again and he gets strength and he goes on his way. He goes to this mountain, and on the mountain, he tells God that he wants to die. He said, I've done all this for you, God. I've been your faithful servant, and I'm just ready to go. Just go ahead. I'm ready. I'm the only one left, but it's okay. Just take me. You know, here he's just in all this self-pity. He's already won these tremendous battles, but he's already fallen into this self-pity. And he goes through this thing where God sends an earthquake, and he's not in the earthquake. God sends all of this stuff, but God is in this small, quiet voice, and he tells Elijah what he wants Elijah to do. And he says, oh, by the way, you're not the only one. I have 7,000 other servants that have not bowed their knee to Baal. So sometimes when we think we're the only righteous one, I'm the only one serving you, God. I'm the only one that's praying, God. God says, no, you're not. I have a whole bunch of people that are out there. Don't worry, you know, amen. So God has a way of putting us in our place, doesn't he? You know, but God has called us because the need is so great. I mean, I really believe that I would say, if I asked any of you, you would say, I truly love my country. I truly love this country. And I know it's in a terrible mess, but what can I do? Well, we can do one thing. We can pray. We can pray. And if we don't pray, won't that be an awful thing? That we say, oh, it was just hopeless. I knew it was hopeless. Why would I pray? You know, but we've got to pray. We don't have a choice, people. We have to pray. Because the Bible says, right there in the front of your bulletin, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways, I will come and heal your land. So God tells us what we have to do. Wouldn't it be awful if we didn't do it and say, you didn't care enough? Think of the people that could be saved. I don't know when Jesus is going to come back. I wish it were today, but I don't know that. But if Jesus tarries, then what if we didn't pray? We have to pray, folks. We have to pray. So please, please pray. I want to give you a couple of scriptures. But isn't that a wonderful story? Aren't the wonderful stories in the Bible, don't you just love Elijah? He's so human. He's so, you know, you think, well, I could never be like Elijah. I mean, look how awesome things, but, oh, let's turn there. Let's turn to James real quick because I want to read it. I want to read it to you. If I can find James, I know it's here. Okay, James, the 5th chapter. You guys make sure you bring your Bibles. Always bring your Bibles. James 5. Good. 16 and 18. This, I think, is really encouraging because God tells us, you know, okay. He says, the 15th verse, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So God is telling us what to do. Amen. So we're supposed to pray for each other. As we pray for each other, we'll be healed. It says the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails. So what kind of prayer are we supposed to pray? Fervent. We got to put some action behind this. We got to put some oomph behind this. God, if it's your will, heal us. Oh, no, God, come and heal. We're desperate, Lord. If you don't move, we're going to die. Amen? Let's get serious about it here. And then it said, 17th verse, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. Amen? Elijah was like us. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. It did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. He prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. So what kind of a man was Elijah? Like us. Amen. Like us. So can we say that we're not righteous enough to pray? Can we say we're too weak to pray? Can we say we just don't have it together and that's why we can't pray? No. The Bible says that we were of the same nature as Elijah. Can we not see the miracles today that Elijah? We might see those miracles. God might put us in a position where they have to be miracles. Amen. My husband used to say everybody wants a miracle, but nobody wants to be in a place to receive a miracle. Amen. If you're going to get a miracle, you need a miracle. Amen. Amen. He used to say people have the want to do, but they don't have the will to do. We got to have some will to do. Amen. Amen. Don't just tell me you're going to be in church. Be here. Amen. Don't just tell me you're going to pray. Pray. You know, put some will behind it. Say, I will do this or die. I will turn off the TV and I will seek God's face. Now, I don't know what God will call you to fast. I mean, you have to consider if, you know, the situation you're in. But I know some of us can do something. We can do something. Amen. Amen. Just turn off the TV. What if you lose that program, it will come back. And if you never do, what have you lost? Amen. It means nothing as far as your walk with the Lord. Amen. If you give up, maybe your thing, my husband loved reading the newspaper. He read the newspaper every morning. He was a diabetic, so he couldn't fast certain things. But he could always fast the newspaper. And it was hard for him to fast the newspaper because he would just take that time and go in the bedroom and pray. Whatever is your fondest thing, I don't know, you know. But God, that's why we're giving, you know, pray. Ask God, what would you have you to do? Okay, it says Elijah was a man with nature. I think the thing has went off, but it doesn't matter. Oh, what did I do to it? Oh, okay. But anyway, so let's pray. Amen. So, okay, let's turn to 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 19. Okay, it's on. It's just taller than me. PJ's going back there laying it. Okay, starting with the 15th verse. 16th verse says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Now, do you guys see that? It says, rejoice always. So does that give us time to be in the mully grubs? Does that give us time to feel sorry for ourselves? Does that give us time to whine about how bad life has been to me? I just gave my oldest, PJ, just had it turn 19, and as part of his birthday present, I gave him a book by Joel Osteen. And the last chapter of the book is on I wrote it down somewhere, but it's sort of in the same thing as don't whine. You know, don't whine, don't complain. It might be bad, and it could be bad, and if it is bad, you know, I'm sorry. But has it not been bad for all of you at one time in your life? We could ask everybody in this building to stand up and give a testimony, and you could tell me many times, perhaps, that God has done you wrong. Amen? No. But where we just feel sorry for ourselves. And it's really hard. And it's not that I'm trying to make it light, because you have went through some really bad times. I know, because I have too. But we had to get behind all that. Maybe what you want to do didn't turn out the way you wanted to do. You know, amen. I don't know. There's 100,000 different things that might have happened in your life that you had to deal with, but you just have to go on. You had to put it behind you and go on, because there are things that God wants us to do. And you know, even if you were at fault, even if you were innocent, it could be either way. It doesn't matter at this point. You have to put all those things behind you, because God has a job for us to do. And unfortunately, in this world, probably we will not get through the rest of our life without something else happening that we wish didn't happen. You know, I pray that it's not really devastating and horrible, but it could be. I don't know. Horrible things happen. You know, go back to 9/11. Those people just went to work. The people that were on the plane that came down in Pennsylvania, and I love those people. I mean, they were the best that America had. They decided that they would either take this plane down. They were believing that they could get it, because one of the guys was a pilot, that they could get in there, take control of it, and land it safely. That's what they were believing for. But if not, is not this Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego all over again? King, you know, if it takes a fiery furnace, so be it. But I'm not going to bow to you. And if it takes a plane going down, we're not going to let anybody else kill us. We will die first before we let this plane land in the capital or whatever, wherever it was going. But, you know, and the other night I was watching that again. They were, you know, doing a tour of that. And I was just crying, because I thought, God, if it came to my turn, would I be so willing? I pray so. I pray so that we would be willing. And if we're willing to die for our country, how much more God? If it comes to it, one of the things that we pay a lot for insurance, probably our biggest bill is insurance that we pay every month that we have to have on the building. And I was reading it last year, and I hadn't caught this, but one of the things that we have to pay for, the state of Florida demands, is that we have to pay to be covered by terrorists. And I thought, why would we need that? And I thought, why would we not need that? You know, I was shocked that it was there. But then when I thought about it, I understood it. But Can you believe that we have come to a time in this country where we have to be covered by insurance in a church for terrorists? Isn't that shocking? But it's where we're at. And it's where we're at everywhere. We're not exempt. But so we have to be ready. We have to be prayed up. Here in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, 17th verse, it says, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Lord, I thank you that we are prepared people. I thank you, Lord, that when the time comes, I will be ready and that I will walk in that hour like you would have me to walk. Amen. He says, rejoice always. Rejoice. Is there nothing that we cannot rejoice over? I can rejoice over my grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And Rhonda's so beaming because she loves those babies. Amen. Don't we love our grandchildren, our babies? Amen. So we have a lot to rejoice. Just that we got up this morning and we were breathing. Just that we're not in constant pain. That we have our right mind. You know, Fred would go into these churches and preach, and he said sometimes people would get up and they'd say, thank you, Lord, that I'm in my right mind. And at first he thought that was so strange, and he thought, you know, that's a good thing to be glad for. I could have woke up with not my right mind. Whatever it is, it's here. Amen. So, you know, we thank you, Lord, that we woke up this morning and we were able to function to get here. Amen. And we had a choice to get here. We could have stayed home. But anyway, we have much to be glad and pray without ceasing. What does that mean? That means that, you know, obviously we can't, that our hearts and our mind are geared to God. And that whatever we need to pray for, when the need is there, we'll be able to pray. You know, and that God has, that we are available. Amen. Maybe it's going down the road and that person cut in front of you. Instead of cursing them out, you pray for them. Amen. And you know, you're nice instead of not being nice. You remember the lady that's in front of you at the grocery store, that's the cashier. Maybe her life is really hard. Maybe she would prefer not to be there, but that might be the only job she could get, and she's so grateful for that job. I was visiting somebody in the hospital not very long ago, and we had to leave the room for a minute. They had to come in to do something, the nurse. And so I was standing out there, and there was a lady there, the janitor or the custodian. Anyway, the lady was there, and she was sweeping, and I talked to everybody, and I asked her how her day was. And she said it was good. And she said, she looked as old as I am. I'm so grateful I only have to work 3 hours a day. But anyway, she said this was her full-time job. And she said, I work another job because I have to. And I thought, oh, my gosh, talking about being grateful. I thought, oh, Lord, what if I had to work a full-time job and a part-time job at my age? I would be so sad. But I was so grateful. I went away thinking, and I said, well, you know, I'm going to be praying for you. I'm so glad that you're able to do this physically, for one thing. But, you know, our lives could be so much worse than they are, you know. And I was just so, I just went away thanking God. Thank you, Lord, that I don't have to work a full-time job and another job on top of it. But some people are called to do really, really tough things. And that would be really hard. So whatever the Lord's called you to do, you know, really be good warriors. And while you're there, if you're in a situation that you find really horrible, just pray. Thank God for promotion. Thank God for promotion. And I'm going to quit with this little story. These stories are so neat. Good grief. But anyway, I was listening to this testimony. And this lady worked in a part of the country where there was not a lot of work, but there were chicken farms. And she had prayed that the Lord would give her a job on this chicken farm. And God did. She got hired to work in this chicken factory. I guess that's what it would be. And she was so happy to be there. And she prayed, and God, she started tithing. God, she was able to give God money. She was so happy. And she asked for a promotion, and God promoted her. Pretty soon, she was a supervisor in the egg farm. And, you know, I was listening to this woman, and I was thinking, Lord, I would hate to work in an egg farm. You know, like 5,001 eggs, 5,002 eggs, 5,000, wouldn't that just be awful? But she was so grateful. And it was, you know, we just need to be grateful. And I think that as we're grateful for where God has planted us, that doesn't mean that we have to maybe make a house and live there. Perhaps there's promotions that God's going to bring you into, or whatever God has for you. But while you're there, be thankful. Pray. Thank God for what he's given you. Thank God for the abilities that he's given you, that you can do it. Whether it's a truck driver, whether it's working in concrete, or whether you have an office job, or whatever, you know. God is good, and God has blessed all of us. Amen? Amen. So I want us to really, during this time, to go back to our 40 days of fast. Really pray what God would have you to do. And don't lose this advantage, because, you know, we need to be together on this. And we're not going to go ask you, are you fasting? What are you fasting? Because it's between you and God. But please try to do something. Amen. Pray for our country. Instead of complaining, and I complain as much as any other person, probably more. Instead of complaining about our leaders, let's pray for our leaders. You know, the Bible tells us to pray for our leaders. Sometimes we have to pray that we can pray for our leaders. Amen. But whatever we need to do, let's do it. Amen. Amen. I hope I lived up to your great expectations. That Paul falsely, no. Father, we thank you for these people. Lord, help us to be a praying people.